This is the Shrimps Verdicts podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
First corner of the afternoon then here to Morecambe on the right hand side. Charlie Brown's left foot swings that in towards the edge of the 6 yard area.
Yes.
To Tonda, who's found the back of the net. It's in, and that's the perfect start for the Shrimps. And it's Disco Dave to Tonda from close range. Doesn't score many. Corner to the near post by Charlie Brown. Flipped in by David to Tonda. Morecambe 1, Barrow 0, the perfect start in the Morecambe Bay Derby.
That's a brilliant start. You know what? It's good positive play from us. Obviously, Charlie Brown's chance, and then it's a great ball in. Barrow can't clear their lines, and Dave to Tonda just, you know, with that cute little back heel, it's a brilliant finish from Dave.
Guion Edwards has nicked it off his man. Guion Edwards takes it round Farman,
yes,
takes it into the back of the net. And it's a dream start for Morecambe, and it's getting better and better on 11 minutes. It was a howler at the back for the Bluebirds. Feely lost it on the edge of the area, and that's all Guion Edwards needed. Nicked it away, dribbled it round Paul Farman, taps it into the empty net. Morecambe 2, Barrow 0.
What a start. And you know what? There's that complacency. You take a little bit too long, a little split second or too long on the ball. Guion Edwards nicks it off him. Goes clean through, rounds Farman brilliantly and just slots it into an empty net. Brilliant start, 2-0.
Whitfield, left-hand side, going to whip the ball in with his left foot. Stockton gets a low drive away, and that's well saved with the legs of Archie Mair. Through a crowd of players, Daisy Cutter from Stockton, repelled by Mair. Edwards slews onside here on the left flank, and he's got room to skip away in towards the edge of the penalty area. Slew still going, and that's a one go, and that wasn't far wide of Paul Farman's left-hand post either. Brown delivery, and it's headed wide. Oh my goodness me, that was the chance for 3-0, I think. Jacob Bedeau, I think it was, up from the back.
I'm not sure whether it was Bedeau or Kombeni that actually got their head on it initially, but it's a brilliant opportunity.
Goal gaping, and we've put it wide. Corner comes in, Charlie Brown left footed. Jacob Bedeau, he's not done it again, not connected.
I think he's connected, but it's come off Farman's stud, isn't
he? Goodness me.
It's a brilliant ball in from Charlie Brown. Absolutely excellent ball. It's horrible to deal with that. And Bedeau at the back post, and I think Farman just got the block on it.
Cross comes in. It's a really nice one as well. Worrell can't quite get his head on it. About George Ray here for a pile driver. Opts to go to the right, and Elliot Newby crosses it in. Flick towards Emil Aqua, and that's a good save. Yeah. Low down to his right-hand side by Archie Mair. One he'd expect to make, but he needs to be sure with his hands, and he was.
100%. It's a nice comfortable one for him, and that's what you hope for as a goalkeeper.
Whitfield battling for it. Kean Spence, 30 yards out. Opts to chip it towards David Worrell, right-hand side. Elliot Newby inside the area. Gets the ball onto his left foot. Newby, it might end up in the back of the net. The initial save by Archie Mair, and I think it just hit Ben Whitfield a few yards out. Into the back of the net it goes. Jed Brandon puts his hands on his head. Appeals to his Morecambe players for Carmen with 90 seconds of the 90 minutes to go. Barrow have got themselves back to 2-1 here. Ben Whitfield with it as a flare gets thrown onto the pitch inside the Morecambe penalty area. Morecambe 2, Barrow 1 with 60 seconds to go.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps Verdict on Beyond Radio.
We are almost into the seventh minute of the five added on. How much
there
longer?
It is.
No more seconds left. There's the whistle. And Morecambe have done it. Back-to-back wins over the Easter bank holiday weekend mean that Jed Brantman's Shrimps are right in the playoff picture with five games of the season to go. Goals in the third minute from David to Tonda, back heeling home from a Charlie Brown right wing cross from the first corner of the game. 2-0 on 11 minutes. Guion Edwards nicking the ball away on the edge of the area, rounding the keeper and slotting it home to give Jed Brannan's men an absolute dream start here at the Mazuma. Barrow have lots of quality. They huffed and puffed. They couldn't score until the very last minute. I think it was Ben Whitfield who got a lucky deflection after the first shot from the Barrow man was saved by Archie Mayer. That made a very nervous last few minutes and almost 7 minutes of stoppage time as well to boot. But the Morecambe boys have done it. Back-to-back victories over Easter have reignited our playoff push. At Morecambe 2, Barrow 1.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. It's a delight to see, you know, after such a good start. And it's a tough one to hold on at the end there. When Barrow get the goal with ultimately 2 minutes plus injury time remaining, it's a very nervy time, as it was against Accrington. But again, we've stood strong and we've held out for the victory. And what another important 3 points that is, because that puts us right back in the mix.
And do you know what, Stu? We deserve to win that game.
Absolutely. You know, for the majority of the game, we've been a better team. And Barrow showing their quality at the end. And ultimately, it was too little too late for them. But, you know, it's a brilliant day for us. And as we said last week, Dave, we've been defeated four games in a row. Things turn around very quickly in football. We've now run two in a row and we're right back in the mix again. So, you know, it's a strange old game, football, but let's see where this takes us. We've got another big game at the end of the week, so we're going to have to focus on that now. But it's been a brilliant shift from the boys the last two games. So, you know, brilliant Easter weekend, and just delighted for everyone.
An absolute dream Easter. It's gone as well as we could ever have possibly have hoped for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's every single player on that pitch has put a shift in today, and you can see the tiredness from the boys here. It's, it's brilliant to see. The defending at times
it's unbelievable. Bodies on the line, wasn't it? Everybody just battling for each other.
Yeah.
Wanting it. Some of the blocks were amazing. And for all of Barrow's good play, and you can see exactly why they are still in the automatic promotion mix, let's be honest, but
yeah,
you think they are almost certainly going to be inside that top seven. Lots of good passing, possession football, they penned us in for large periods of the second half, but the reality was that they didn't have much end product, so much so that Cole Stockton, 7 goals in 12 appearances on loan for the Bluebirds. We know the striking prowess that Cole has, of course. Called him Cole the Goal when he was here. That's how many goals he scored for us. He got substituted because we just marked him out of the game in the end.
Well, it's always difficult when you're coming back to one of your old clubs. It's, you always want to do well, and sometimes you want to you try that little bit too hard. And, you know, fair play to the defenders at the back, you know, Jacob Doe, Chris Stokes, Joel Senior, Dave Tutunda. They kept him at bay for the game, and I think, you know, Cole being substituted, bringing off a player of that calibre, because he's not had a sniff all game, is, you know, just credit to how well we've done today. So obviously he'll be disappointed that, you know, he didn't get to come back to Morecambe in, like, you know, the in the lights and everything, and have his name off the lights. But, you know, the boys have been brilliant today, and it's just one of those days that, you know, I can't fault anyone for anything they've done today. It's brilliant. It's 2 games in a row we've got the 3 points, and we're just outside the playoffs now. Who knows? All we got to do is focus on ourselves. We could win every game and not make the playoffs because everyone else around us, or we could win 2 games and make the playoffs. It's such a strange old thing. After four losses in a row, everyone's right.
It was over, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And, absolutely.
You know, even myself, I was thinking, oh no, that's it now. Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, you shouldn't be thinking that. But you do, deep down, you think, oh, Blumnett, like, we wasted a few opportunities
absolutely.
Here.
It's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, 2 wins and you're straight back in it again. And it's remarkable, really. It's such a crazy league this year. So
we're 8th in the table, Stu.
8th in the table.
We're 2 points outside the playoffs. We've got...
5 games to go, is it?
5 games to go. Doncaster, Crewe. I mean, we've got some tough fixtures, don't get me wrong. Doncaster, Crewe, Stockport, Forest Green, Rovers, Swindon.
Yeah, they're all tough fixtures for various reasons. You know, you look at it and there's teams in form, teams not in form, teams around you, teams near the bottom.
We've got a mixed bag, haven't we?
It's going to be a real tough 5 games, but this is the stage of the season where you've got to leave everything on the pitch. And, you know, as long as you do that, no one can really moan. And as I've said before, get behind the boys, you know, for the next 5 games, let's give it everything as a club together and see where we end up at the end of the season.
And I think that's all we can do, isn't it? I think that's
absolutely
all that every single Morecambe fan listening to this right now if the boys give it everything and we ultimately fall just short, nobody's going to have a complaint, are they?
Exactly. I know for one that every single person in that changing room is going to give everything they've got, and they're not going to leave anything behind. And you know, I want everyone to do the same. You know, come give the boys the support, get behind them, because ultimately we want to give you the stuff to cheer about. And you know, it's days like today what makes it worth it. You know, a brilliant Easter weekend, two wins, you know, 6 points from two games. It's brilliant, and you know, you just never know what's going to happen.
Two of the things that are working in our favour, Stu. One is our lack of travel. I know we've got Swindon on the final day of the season, but including today, 4 out of 5 at home. The away game is only to Stockport, only Greater Manchester. So, I mean, a lot of the players are Manchester based, aren't they, as well? So probably closer to go to Stockport is to come here. But
it's probably more of a home game.
Not much travelling involved, is there? And that's going to play into our hands. And the second thing, of course, is the players coming back from injury. JJ McKinnon's been on the bench the last two games. Saw Faz and Donald Love. They look. Can't be far away themselves. You're clearly not far away yourself, the way you were chucking yourself about before the game today. So that's going to be like 3 or 4 new signings, and that's going to bolster. Nobody else around us, I think, can say that they've got genuine first team players, fresh as a daisy. You're going to be coming back in for the last few games of the season.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, just because we're coming back doesn't mean we'll make the squad. Ultimately, we want to come back, and we want to be in the mix and doing everything we can. But we've got such a good squad, and yeah, we've been unfortunate for a lot of the season where we have had a lot of injuries where we haven't been able to perhaps play players that we would have wanted to. But now it's getting to that stage. The squad's coming back together, the manager's getting a lot more options, and it just gives you a few different dynamics to work with. So yeah, there's going to be a lot more pressure on the boys, and if you play well, you keep your place, and if not, then you've got players sniffing behind you and really eager to get in the side. So yeah, it's brilliant, and you know, it's 5 games to really look forward to now until the end of the season.
Grimsby 1, Bradford 1, Crewe 0, Forest Green 3, Harrogate, Walloping, Gillingham 5-1, Crawley beat Newport by 4-0, 3 apiece between Notts County and MK Dons, Stockport 1, Wimbledon 0, Sutton United 3, Swindon 1, Tranmere and Colchester 1 apiece, and Walsall coming back to beat Salford by 2-1. The results have gone for us, apart from Crawley. The results have all gone for us, and it couldn't really be much better.
Well, we've jumped up to 8th position now. We're 2 points behind Crawley, and we're 6 points behind Crewe, who we've still got to play. But it's going to be a very, very interesting finish to the season.
Go and enjoy the celebrations in the home dressing room, Stuart Moore, the Morecambe goalkeeper. Thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure to be here again.
For your contribution, as ever, here on Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio this Easter Monday afternoon.
Well, Jed, another 2-1 win for you. What an Easter weekend it's been for you.
Yeah, fantastic. Great for the fans and the club here. Two derbies, you've got 2 wins out of it. You can't fault the lads. You were absolutely brilliant today, and they were brilliant on Friday. Massive hearts, and they showed it today. Started the game off really well first half. I thought we passed really well first half. Second half, obviously, they're going to come into it. They're a good team, and they had us pinned in our half, but we've done well. The lads showed great character.
Great start, didn't they? 2 goals up after 11 minutes.
Yeah, we were always going to press them every time. They go long, to be fair. So we said to them, every time they go short, we're going to press them. And we did, and we got the ball off them. Guillaume was fantastic, took it off him, went man the keeper, and made it 2-0. Yeah, it was good.
This goal came from a corner, and Charlie Brown can get some whip on those corners, can't he?
I thought our set pieces today were deadly, to be fair. Second half as well, we had a few in there. Charlie and Jake Taylor on the other side, both great balls, great deliveries in, and obviously good runs from the lads. We were just unlucky a few times.
Yeah, 2-0 up from a corner, he almost went to 3. Did Nelson just take it off Jacob Bedell's head?
It looked that way, didn't it? But to be fair to Nelson, he made a great run, and he gets up really well, doesn't he? Better, he looks small, but he's got a great spring on him, and as you say, he just took it off Jacob's head.
But what a season in terms of ups and downs. I mean, you know, in, out, great win today. Crawley have a great win, Gillingham get hammered. It's just open, isn't it? It's so open, last 6 games.
The league is nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Everyone beats everyone. It's really entertaining from the outside looking in, but it's hard when you're down there as a manager and games like that, they're very nerve-wracking. But you know what? We've just got to keep going and see what happens.
It's very similar to Friday, wasn't it? You know, they scored 89th minute again. It just sets up that last injury time, whatever it was. It was 5 minutes today. How was it for your heart?
Not good. But to be fair, the last 5 minutes, the lads seen the game out really, really well. They obviously wasted time on throw-ins and ball free kicks. It was really good. So it was good to see that part of us that we know how to see a game out.
Two more home games in a row now. Hopefully you can take advantage of that.
As I said before, you just never know. Let's just see what happens. Give it our best shot.
No injuries today, hopefully.
I don't think so. I haven't had time to assess. It's been mad the last 15 minutes, so I don't know, but I don't think so. I think we're all good.
And for all their possession, for all they did try and lay seeds to you in the end, there weren't that many clear chances for them, were there?
No, we defended a good line just outside the box, and you say all the possession. Was it really a lot of possession? They got the ball wide and crossed it, and we defended really well. We had them at arm's length, so we knew what we were doing, and we seen it up really well till they scored.
Queen Edwards, another 90 minutes for him today, and he showed his class with the goal, didn't he?
He's a top player, and we all know he's a top player, and I've been dying to get him on the pitch from the start to play. Obviously, we had to manage him properly. Give him 60 minutes and so on. Now he's got 90, and he looks a top player, doesn't he?
So a great weekend, and onwards and upwards, hopefully.
Yeah, let's see what happens in the next game. We'll give it our best shot. We'll do our homework and get back on here on Saturday.
You offered a lot towards the end of the game, but ultimately it's the damage inside the first half which has cost you today.
Yeah, frustrating. Game was completely dominated, and it's a poor set piece to concede so early on. And then we gift them a chance. And the two things that are not barrow. But when you give a home side a two-goal lead, you find it very very hard to then get back in the game. Like I say, we've had them pinned in their half for 75 of the 90 minutes, and we haven't had that little bit of quality that's broken down, which is frustrating. And that's the bit that we come away from here thinking that when we get in that final third, we've got to be better and we've got to take our chances and create better opportunities. I mean, their system first half was, we weren't getting the better of it, we weren't getting players out of the pitch. So at half time, you're 2-0 down, you try something different. And I thought the 4-3-3 worked a dream. We were playing wingers at full backs to try and pen them in. We had them pinned in their own penalty box for so long, we just couldn't get them that ball over the line. And one of them days you look back, I've just said to the players in there, listen, we're flying, we've done so well. Don't let one of these days where it just doesn't go your way frustrate you. We all have them, and like I say, we've given them a leg up, we've given them a 2-0 head start, and unfortunately we couldn't rectify our poor first 10.
It's the big disappointment, isn't it, on your front, because defensively over this run, that's been one of your big advantages, isn't it? I mean, you've been taking the chances when they've come in terms of your goals, but ultimately that's been set up by how you have defended them.
Yeah, I mean the header for the corner for the first goal, I mean, it's a poor header. It's one of our lads back and it lands at their feet. That was just the story of the day, didn't it? We didn't get the rub of the green. We didn't get any sort of clear opportunities. And some days you have that's why we all love football. And they've taken their opportunities. They've then sat in for their lives, rode the luck, and they've got what they want.
That's the big way now, isn't it? I mean, your players didn't put their heads down, which I suppose is the big advantage for you. It gave you that opportunity going into stoppage time where you gave that stall for you to get something from the game. Unfortunately, it just never came for you.
And one thing that can be never criticised is the effort and application of our players. They've been outstanding. We've had an outstanding season so far. I'm sure we'll finish with an outstanding season. Sometimes you don't go your way, and well, them days today, it's just not gone our way. We give them a leg up and we haven't been able to recover from it.
Obviously, in front of a great crowd, in terms of the travelling support for you as well, I suppose that's the other big frustration, that you've been able to do something for them today, of the efforts they're putting to get here.
Yeah, certainly unbelievable support. That shows what we're creating, what we're doing in the town. So I'm really pleased with the support. As you can see, that effort and application was there. We just didn't have that little bit of quality, which sometimes in League 2 is the case. And that's what comes with being a footy fan. You're on up and down the country, sometimes you don't go your way. But I'm sure we'll be back to business on Saturday against Swindon at home, and we'll be making sure we're still pushing as much as we can and get that playoff place secured.
It seems to be a big switch around, isn't it, that your home form has really kicked on, and it's the away form where right at the start of the season, yeah, generally with the factor of how many away games that you had at the start of the season, but it was on the road where you were really having the joy, wasn't it, early in the campaign?
Listen, you're only as good as your own games. Win your own games, see what you can pick up on the road. That's been us this season. We've had, like I say, I keep saying it, we've had a fantastic season. We'll continue to have a fantastic season. And one day that doesn't go our way ain't going to define us.
Well, David, a great 2-1 win to you today, innit? And a great weekend overall.
Yeah, we're extremely pleased with the two wins that we've got now. Obviously, away at Accrington on Friday, and then today against our rivals. So it's massive for us to just carry this momentum on and make sure we get more wins and hopefully end up in a playoff space.
You had the one defeat in seven, then you had the four successive defeats that nobody really saw coming, but you've bounced back with two wins on the bounce now. And it's anybody's, this, isn't it, towards the end of the season?
Yeah, massively. I mean, we've looked to gain consistency, and off the back of our four losses, we knew that we had to turn those into wins. And obviously, we've managed to get two now, and long may it continue.
The last two games, you've managed to go two goals ahead, which has been fantastic. It's hard work, though, watching you sometimes. These late onslaughts for two games running. Hard work.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we need to find a way to see games out more comfortably. But, you know, at the same time, we are playing a top side, so it's never easy. But, you know, 2-0 is always a dangerous scoreline, and I'm just glad that we managed to win the game.
Some great performances all around today. You had to really buckle down, didn't you, again?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone to a man was absolutely phenomenal, so we're really pleased with that.
Lots of youngsters as well, you know, Nelson Cumbeni, Joe Adams, but then there's more experienced players like yourself and Chris Stokes and Jacob Bedau, and it's the team's really come together at just the right time, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, every day is an absolute joy to work with these lads, and, you know, we have a good relationship on and off the pitch, and we just have to keep it working on the pitch, and you know, that's the most important thing.
You've now got two home games in a row as well, which hopefully you can take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, we look to win every game, especially the ones at home. We have to look to make this place a fortress, and you know, when you win your home games, you always have a good chance of being in a good position come the end of the season.
You played Doncaster Saturday. You scored that great goal against them a few months ago. Today's goal wasn't quite from the distance, but an important goal nonetheless in the fourth minute.
Yeah, it was more of a fox in the box action. You know, I'm not usually up from corners, but I was put there a couple of games ago, and I'm kind of enjoying that role. I'm a lot more today because I got the goal.
And nice to chip in with a goal for yourself as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to score, but you know, the main thing is always the result.
It's the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. Thanks so much for downloading this episode, as ever. So we rumble on then, five games of the League Two season to go, and we're back at the Mazuma Mobile Stadium this coming Saturday afternoon. It's Doncaster Rovers, the opponents for Jed Brannan's men. And Donny have had something of the revival, actually, under Grant McCann in recent months. You might remember earlier in the season, we beat them 5-0 just at the turn of the year. But they've had a renaissance since then, and now they are comfortably in mid-table. One of those tricky teams that aren't going to go up, probably aren't going down, so not much to play for, playing with a bit of freedom perhaps. So it's going to be a very difficult test for the Shrimps. Full match commentary, of course, as ever, on Shrimps Live Saturday afternoon from just before 2:55. Listen for free on FM and DAB across North Lancashire and Morecambe Bay, and of course you can subscribe via iFollow Shrimps. If you fancy going, they would love your support as ever. Tickets available right now, hospitality options too, at morecambefc.com. Let's look ahead to the game then with Aaron Challoner. Aaron is a YouTuber, is a vlogger, and is a massive Doncaster Rovers fan. You might have seen his channel Chal Chats on YouTube. Go and check it out, because it's not just Doncaster Rovers stuff. He does all sorts of EFL content. He reviews theme park rides. He does all sorts of stuff. Chal Chats. Check him out on YouTube and on his socials. The ideal man to get the full lowdown on Grant McCann's men and matters elsewhere in League 2 as well, ahead of their trip to the Mazuma Mobile Stadium this coming Saturday afternoon. So let's have a chat with Aaron Challoner then, ahead of the Doncaster game on Saturday. Chal, thanks for jumping back on the pod, mate. Really appreciate it. Before we get going and talking all things football, let's get the sales pitch in before we go any further. Tell us all about your online stuff. What is it? Where is it? Everything we need to know.
So I represent Chal Chats. So I've got the badge now.
Nice.
You can just see it.
Nice
there.
Logo, that. Nice.
Thank you very much. I've got it on a rucksack somewhere, but it's buried underneath some clothes. But yeah, so Chal Chats, it is a media network. We represent sporting and theme park journalism. We bring you news updates. We bring you interviews inside the industry. We bring you press conference reactions from the football side and the sporting side. We'll bring you different news updates. We'll bring you some fun videos as well. So for example, at the moment I've just finished recording a video which is five Premier League under 21s players that we could sign on loan or permanently in this summer. So that's for a debt that's to go up. That went up on the Good Friday when we played Crawley, so it went out just before we kicked off against Crawley. So very fun video to make, and really loved it. So we do a variety of content. We'll be very busy throughout the summer, and it's going to be a very very, very lovely time this summer. I think it's the happiest I've been in the last 3 years as a Rovers fan going into it. But we're all about delivering that professional and analysis, and all about delivering that sporting journalism and theme park journalism without being professionally qualified. So I'm willing to offer my my services.
Go and check him out. Just search Aaron Challoner or Chal Chats online on social media. You will find his YouTube channel. You'll find his social media feeds. He's here, there and everywhere, to be honest. So you can't really miss him. Now, as we spoke about before we before we hit record, Chal, and I don't want to sort of labour the point too much that we beat you 5-0 earlier in the season. But, you know, the facts are the facts, aren't they? But yeah. That said, what a difference a couple of months makes. You've gone from, well, not being too far away from the trapdoor, let's be perfectly honest, to now suddenly loads of positivity. So what's changed? Or is it quite simply Grant McCann needed a bit of time and you've given him that time?
I think it's exactly that. I think that, you know, a lot of other fan bases, not naming names, would have been very reactionary with their managers. They would have been, they would have been very much... that have been very much, oh, you know, it's not working, let's just get rid of him and just bring in a new man. It's not as simple as that. You've got to give a man time, and there's not enough time in football. And I think it's very fair to say that modern football has become a very disposable, reactionary business. So it's very, very important to give a man time. We've given managers time in the past. We didn't give Gary McSheffrey enough time, in my opinion. I know this might be controversial, but I personally think Danny Schofield didn't get enough time either. I feel like he could have done more with what he had to work with, but he could have done more with the summer he could have been given. But I'd have taken Grant McCann over Danny Schofield any day of the week, no disrespect to Danny. So for me, I think it was very, very important to stay loyal to this manager. Should he have come under more questions during the bad spell of form when we were near towards the bottom two? In my opinion, I think so, but not too much questions because we know what he's capable of doing. We gave him the time. We were loyal as fans. We gave it patience, and look at the results now. It's one loss in 10 as of recording this. Might be one loss in 11, one loss in 12 if we beat Crawley and Wrexham by the time we record this, which I'm hoping we do, fingers crossed. And overall for me, it's just been, it's been an amazing change. I think what we needed to do was switch things up on the pitch. So we were playing the 4-3-3. We played wing backs for a while as well. It just, for a while it was working, but then it just didn't seem to work. And then we went under a bit of a barren form where didn't have a win for a month or so. Then we switched it up. We went 4-2-3-1. The number 10 role started to do the extra pressing, drop into the opposition halves and press when needed. We had the balance in midfield. We had the stopper. We had the proper break-up midfielder in the defensive midfield role on one side. We had the ball linker on the other side that does the deep line playmaker duties. You had the balance in the defence. But mind you, saying that, even though people say, oh, we need pace in the back line to add some balance to it, I think Wood and Anderson's been fantastic in terms of holding it up, dealing with the press very well. They've kept it very quiet in terms of, you know, the amount of goals we've been conceding at the moment in the last month or so. We know the fullbacks either side have been cutting down and locking down the channels very, very well as well. So what we've done is we've just switched it up on the tempo on the pitch. And what we've done is we've figured out exactly what we needed. And I won't lie to you, there was a lot of doubt in January in terms of who we were going to bring in eventually. Matthew Craig came with a risk. Obviously, it was his first senior loan, despite him being the captain of the under-21s at Spurs. There was a risk that it was his first senior loan. We've had previous players where it hasn't worked out on their first loan deal. Thiago Chuka being an example when we were relegated to League 2 from League 1. And it just clicked. After a couple of games, it took a few games. It took 3, 4, 5 games for it to click. And then when it clicked, boy, did it click. And he's proven himself to really be a star asset. And he said in the press this past week that he might fancy staying as well. So that's a very positive sign. Adel Aiken has got no game time at Lincoln City or barely any game time. He comes in on loan. Few questions about why it wasn't permanent. However, I think with the financial penalty from the EFL, we kind of understood it. And he comes in and he's just a magician in this division. He just comes in and it's very much a story of certain players fit at certain clubs. Adel Aiken feels like the perfect fit for us on the wing. So in that left wing role, in terms of permanently in the summer, get the contract out. We'll do a Rio Ferdinand and get the contract on the table like he did in the Champions League a couple of years ago. But yeah, for me, it just seems like everything started to click. I'm not going to discredit everything that happened beforehand. I think it's very important for me to say that, because I think there's been a lot of Rovers fans that have been criticised by others for almost discrediting the first half of the season, where it has been, overall, it has been a Jekyll and Hyde season. Has it been good enough for where we want to go going forward? No. Was it going to be built in a day? No. I think that this was all about McCann getting used to his first season as a League Two manager, because he's never managed in League Two before. So this was very much a Jekyll and Hyde season, get his feet under the table, and he's looking at this season and going, right, let's push for the end of the season now and build on that in the summer going into next season. And then next season's hopefully our year. So I'm a lot more confident about next season than I was going into it, I think, a month ago. So I think that now we've got this form going in, it's very, very important to replace or bring back the players that made this form possible, get the squad together that's going to continue that form next season and build on there. But overall, it's been a real Jekyll and Hyde season in terms of a summary. But I think the form over these last couple of months has been nothing short of amazing. Being the best form team in the division has been unbelievable for us.
Are you in effectively almost an early pre-season now then? And by that, I mean, you're not going up or down. You can see where you are for next season, play the players who are going to probably be in the squad next year, that kind of stuff. A bit like Carlisle are doing at the moment. They're obviously all but relegated. I know a couple of Carlisle fans and they've said the same to me. We're planning for next season. We're not playing the lone players who are not going to be here in the summer and the players who are probably going to be out of contract and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Is that where you're at? And I suppose if that's where you are at, you've not got any pressure, have you? Because not going up or down, you can play with that freedom. And I suppose that helps then get results along the way as well.
Well, to be fair, I don't think we've given up just yet. I think that we're in a situation where if we win all our last eight games, including the two that will have passed by the time this goes out, I think that if we win the two games, plus the six coming up after that, including this one against Morecambe, we go on to 73 points. Only one team at the moment at this stage in the season is only on 73 points, and that's Mansfield. So we win all our eight games, and the people in the playoffs drop any points. There's an opportunity to sneak into seventh if we can. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but there is still that mathematical risk that it could happen, because stranger things have happened in football. So I think we're in that period. You're right in terms of a sense of there are players playing that will be part of the squad next season. I think the majority of players that are playing at the minute will be a part of the squad next season. In terms of the loanees that are starting, Lotitala, Craig, Adelaken, I hope we can get those three back. Probably Craig on a loan deal, but Adelaken and Lotitala on a permanent deal, because as far as I'm aware, I don't think they've got a pathway at Lincoln and Hull respectively. So ideally, I mean, if take away the loanees, you'd be looking at the squad for next season. I think when they're fit, take away any potential signings in the summer, if you're going to take out the three loanees, you're probably looking at Broadbent where Craig is. You'd be looking at maybe Taylor when he gets back, or you'd be looking at Hurst where Adelaken is, and you'd be looking at Jones where Lotitala is. But that's before any signings in the summer, etc. So take the three loans out of it. You're looking at the squad for next season in terms of a starting 11 and a preferable bench. I think you are right in terms of we're testing people out. And of course, we're playing the squad that we want to play going forward next season in pre-season as well. I'm sure pre-season plans are all coming together at the moment as we speak. But I also feel like we're not giving up just yet. I feel like we need to be winning as much of these games as possible to achieve the highest finish possible. And no matter what this season's been, and it has been a Jekyll and Hyde half and half season, we finish higher than 18th. It's better than last season because it's cold, hard, straight fact, it's higher than last season. So, you know, if we finish higher than 18th, it's a better season than last season. So if we can win all these last eight games, including the two that will have passed before this recording goes out, and including the one maybe at Morecambe as well, you've got six games. So five, six games. So you've got a potential opportunity to win the whole of your games left and just see where other results get you. If they don't get you in the playoffs or sneak you into seventh, that's fine. That wasn't our, you know, we weren't thinking we were going to sneak in there anyway. It was always going to be a long shot. But if we end up winning the last of our games, and we sneak into, I mean, let's say people drop points and we end up sneaking into 13th, 12th, even 11th. That's an amazing finish considering where we were about 2 months ago. So I think it just shows what form can do and what a run of form can do. So for me personally, I think it's just a case of go for it for the rest of the season. Don't admit defeat until the last whistle's been blown and just see where we are at the end of the season. And if we don't sneak in there, it's not the end of the world because that's the aim next season.
It's been a weird old League Two campaign though, Chal, hasn't it? Let's be honest. It's I've never known it quite so topsy-turvy. I think the top three or four have been obviously that way for most of the season. And obviously going back to last summer, you could probably say that, probably is going to be Mansfield and probably is going to be Stockport and Wrexham and Crewe and blah, blah, blah. But the rest of the playoffs has been up and down. By my rough maths, I think there's been any given time at least 10, maybe more different combinations of teams between fourth and seventh. And it's not over yet. You've got Crawley in there at the moment. It was Wimbledon the week before. Harrogate were in there. Walsall were in there. We were only outside by goal difference. And it's gone on and on and on, hasn't it? So I suppose even when you're so far back like you are, have three wins on the bounce and suddenly you could easily be on the fringes. That's how ridiculous this division is this season.
Yeah, League Two is... You know what? I'll stress this point again. League Two is the best league in English football, bar none. And the reason why I think League Two is the best league in English football, I might get some comments now from Premier League fans and Championship fans saying what you're talking about. But honestly, until you've experienced League Two, how tight it is, how interchangeable it is every single week, and how you could have a situation on the final day of the season where four teams could compete for an automatic place, three or four teams could compete for automatics, 10 or 12 teams could still get playoffs, and literally four or five clubs could still end up in the drop zone or around the bottom three or four. You've literally never seen drama like it. That's the old classic drama of the soap opera that is football. It's like an episode of Coronation Street. There's twists, there is turns, there is drama at every corner, there's always a drop, there's a body through the trapdoor, the theme music of Coronation Street plays, and you get the teaser for next week. So it feels like a modern day soap opera, modern football. Football just feels like a soap opera, especially in League One, especially in League One and League Two. Congratulations to League One as well. You know, they're going to be in for a tight one as well this season. I mean, it's going to be an incredible race to see who comes into this division next season, who comes out of the division either way next season, and who rises into the division with Chesterfield, who, by the way, congratulations. It's going to be nice going back to Chesterfield, by the way. It's been ages since we've gone back to Chesterfield.
Quite local wonderful for you, Chal, as well.
Yeah, 100 million%. And you know what? It's actually going to be glad as well because I'm going to be one of the only challengers in League Two now because Dave Challoner might be getting promoted with Stockport. So it's nice being one of the only challengers in the league again. But we didn't have that for a couple of years. But overall, it's League Two is just such a dramatic league. And it's one of the best leagues in English football because of that, because it brings back all the memories of the classic days of elite football when there was more drama in it and less money. So it kind of brings that classic football aspect out of it. And for me personally, I love that. And, you know, if next season is our year and we end up getting promoted, I know there's going to be a lot of our fan base that'll be like, oh, goodbye League Two, this, that, the other. I will never forget League Two because we were in it in 2016, 2017. We've been in it for what will be three divisions now. I think three seasons now, potentially four, what happens next season. And, you know, League Two, I'll never forget because it's such a dramatic league and anything can happen on any given week and anyone can beat anyone on any given week. So, you know, League Two's just been a remarkable campaign. You've got to give massive praise to the sides that weren't predicted to finish very highly and, you know, have exceeded every expectation. The likes of Harrogate that have gone near the playoffs this year. Newport, considering they were everyone's favourites for the bottom three or four. And Crawley as well has been the massive surprise. I think Barrow's shocked everybody again and just showed them exactly what they're capable of under Pete Wild. Again, the Pete Wild effect. And for me personally, I think this has just been a wonderful division this season to watch because, like you said, anyone could drop into anywhere on any given day. And look at us, for example. We were near the bottom two by only a couple of points 2 months ago. And now we're Now we're 9 points off the 9-10 points off the playoffs with two games in hand on some of these teams and one game in hand on other teams. So it's such a dramatic league, and I think that League Two is the cinema of English football. I think League One and Two are the cinema of English football because you don't know what's coming next. So, you know, for me, I think they show an example to the rest of English football as to how it should be done.
So you're telling me, as we record this, we're recording this just before the Easter weekend, by the way, you're, as we speak, in 18th in League Two, and you're still telling me you've got a chance of getting in the top seven. And I don't disagree with that. You've got 10 points to make up, but two games in hand, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility. That's how many teams are going for promotion, still, theoretically. So where's your money then, Chel? Who's going to be automatic? Who's going to be playoffs? And at the bottom as well, it's not a done deal, is it? Everybody thought Forest Green, Sutton United were going to be cut adrift by now. There's just a point between those two and Colchester just above the line. Grimsby on a million miles behind. You think Swindon on 44 would probably be okay. So it's probably two from those three. So let's have a few predictions.
First of all, I'll say about Swindon, you know, they might be all right this season, but unless they get their situation sorted out, again, hashtag football has an ownership problem, I think they're in trouble next season. I think for this season, though, we'll start from the top and work our way to the bottom. I'm going to go with Mansfield winning the league this year. I think that this is Mansfield's year, and I've said this on numerous shows in the past few weeks to Mansfield fans' faces as well. If they bottle top three now, and they don't win the playoffs as well, Clough should be immediately sacked. Dunk shouldn't begin a new contract at this point, because if you are leading the league, you fall out of the top three and then you don't win the playoffs. I'm sorry, that's not a sackable offence, but you don't let him sign a new contract. His contract runs out in the summer anyway. Mansfield win the league this year, he's getting a new contract 100 million%, and he deserves to. And I spoke to Nigel Clough before. I got the chance to do a wonderful interview when we played them at our place. And I got to go down to Mansfield's training ground and interview Nigel Clough. And I was there with the people from BBC, from the Mansfield Town Football Club media. It was a wonderful experience. It was wonderful talking to him as well, because he's a very insightful man. And he's wonderful to talk to. And I really want him to do well with Mansfield. And I'm so glad that he's doing well this season. I think Mansfield win the league. I think that, I'm not going to say it's unfortunate to say, because I think at the end of the day, they have deserved it no matter what. I do think Wrexham will be in second. I've just got this feeling about Wrexham. They're going to finish in second place. They might drop a couple of points here and there, fingers crossed to us. But I think Wrexham will just sneak into second place. And you know what? I think it's going to be a last day fight for third between Stockport and Crewe. And you know what? I've been very worried about Stockport's form and the way they've been playing at times. So I'm going to take a big risk here, and I'm going to go with Crewe Alexandra taking third place. I think that they've been playing some great football. I know we beat them on our place, but I think they've been playing some good football. Lee Bell's a great young manager. I think he deserves his opportunity in League One next season. Then you look at the playoffs. I think Stockport will obviously be in there, because I think it's fair to say if they don't get into third, they do finish in fourth. Looking at some of the other teams in that mix, I mean, NK Dons are definite. I think that NK Dons will finish in fifth, in my opinion. I think they've been brilliant. They could even finish in fourth, NK Dons, you never know. I think Mike Williamson's been fantastic with NK Dons since his arrived. I think the move has worked out on all parties. Look at Gateshead as well in the playoffs in the National League. So I think the move's worked out in all parties. Rob Elliott stepped up at Gateshead. Williamson's done well with NK Dons, apart from when we played them on New Year's Day. 3-0, so that was a nice result for us. I have to keep bringing it back, don't I? So yeah, MK Dons have been brilliant. I think that Barrow will keep their place in the playoffs. I think they do. I think they've done enough. Seventh is interesting, but I'm going to give the Devils, the Red Devils, their dues, and I'm going to give it to Crawley, who are in there at the moment. I think the playoffs will be Stockport, MK Dons, Barrow and Crawley. And if we're going to go in that order, I believe it's fourth versus seventh and fifth versus sixth. So if we're going on that, then it would be Stockport against Crawley and MK Dons v Barrow. And on that basis, I think we're looking at a Crawley-MK Dons final. And I think that Crawley's going to take it. I've got a big prediction that Crawley's going to take the final. In terms of relegation, I think Forest Green go down, but I think Steve Cotterill stays and he will help get them to the playoffs or try and get playoffs next season in the National League. And the reason why I think Forest Green goes down is because Steve Cotterill, yes, he's showed them up at the back at times since he's been there as manager. I think he's an exceptional manager. He's well above National League level, in my opinion. It's like another Paul Cook situation. I think that he's way above National League level, in my opinion. But I think this is the project Steve Cotterill needed after leaving Shrewsbury. I think he goes down, he stays with them, he brings in the players needed, gets rid of the ones he doesn't need, and he builds a proper side over the next year, two, maybe even 3 years, because it takes a while to get out of that division, to get back into League Two. I think Forest Green will do it in the next few years if they go down this season, but I think they need Steve Cotterill for that. I don't think any other manager at this point in time is the right fit apart from Cotterill. So I think Forest Green bottom. And I had a bit of time to think about this with Sutton, Colchester and Grimsby. Grimsby have not been fantastic under David Artell. However, in my opinion, I think they're safe because I think they'll just about survive and I think they'll build next season, give Artell the money, give Artell the time, and he will build a winning squad out of that Grimsby team. Then you're left with the two. Danny Cowley under Colchester. Yes, there's been some positives, but the results overall haven't been good enough. I think, again, it's a Steve Cotterill situation where if they go down, he will stay with them and fight with them for the next couple of years, get Colchester back to where they need to be. It's another big team dropping into non-league, which is not nice to see, but I think they'll build. Sutton, I think if they drop down, they may take a few years in the National League before they get back into contention to get back into League Two. Do I think that Steve Morrison's the guy for it? I think he is. I think potentially he could be. If I had the choice, I'm going to go with a drop zone of Forest Green and Colchester. I think Sutton and Grimsby just stay up on the last day.
Interesting. We'll come back to that at the end of April then, Chal. But it's going to be tight, isn't it? Top and bottom, it's going to be really tight. And I think as a neutral, that's all you want. If you're not in direct contention up or down yourself, you want it to be interesting for as long as possible. And I think if we have got something to play for in automatics and in playoffs and in relegation going into the final day, that makes it exciting for everybody, doesn't it? Especially if you're beached in mid-table, which both of us could well be. I mean, you don't know how it's going to pan out, of course, but saying that we are, personally, as a player, as a member of the media and a fan who's seen lots of League Two football this season, that's all you want. You want it to be as close for as long as possible.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that it's going to be, like I said, League One and League Two of the cinema of English football. They bring the most drama. They bring the most twists and turns, in my opinion. I think part of that's because money isn't involved as much as the Premier League and the Championship. But I think part of that is because there's just some remarkable stories. You know, even looking ahead to next season, potentially, from our perspective, we are back to Chesterfield, for one. So that's another side in our region. We've got Harrogate, who have been improving, who we still need to get a win against since they've been up in the Football League. We need to get our win against Bradford next season because they're not looking amazing at the minute. And there's a chance next season if we can do that. We know that Port Vale could be coming down from League One. They're managed by Darren Moore. So that's going to be very, very interesting from our perspective. Morecambe, I do not like what they're going through at the moment, ownership-wise. It's just been a travesty, and I hope we can get it sorted as soon as possible. So that's going to be very interesting to see if they're going to end up being where Swindon are this season. Swindon next season, if they don't get it sorted, could be an absolute mayhem. The other teams dropping down from League One, I think Fleetwood could be interesting next season. I don't want to hear Captain Pugwash if they score, though, like it was 3 years ago. I think that Cheltenham coming down potentially. I think Daryl Clark's a fantastic manager, will get them firing long term. So I think if they go down, I think it won't take them long to get back up again. Potentially Cambridge, depending how their season goes between now and then. Let's see if any more points get deducted from Reading as well. It's going to be very interesting. And from our perspective for the rest of this season, you know, if we finish mid-table this season, is it acceptable by anyone's standards, on and off? But I think after the season that we've had, I would take it. I would take it. I'm not saying it's the be-all and end-all, but I would say it's progress. And I think at this stage, you know, I spoke about this numerous times throughout different parts of the season. I think what we've needed especially since the end of the Welling spell, the McSheffrey spell, and the Schofield spell, is we needed stability. So this year, deep down, wasn't going to be our year this year. We knew deep down it wasn't going to be our year this year. We knew it was going to take time to build what we needed to. We knew that some of the players that wouldn't be here long term were going to be here this season and try and earn their place in his plans. Some players have, some players haven't. And we needed some kind of stability. So, yes, it's our third season in League Two next season, which obviously isn't great for us getting back into League One. But in terms of keeping it stable this season, I think we've done that. And I think we can now use it as a launching pad, especially with the form we've been on, to build for next season and try and get ourselves on the right track from the word go. As soon as August 2024 hits, from the word go, from the first whistle, on it from minute one to minute 90 of the last game, the 46th game in May 2025, April 2025. So it's been a very interesting season this season, but I think overall as a neutral, it's going to be fantastic to watch that last day, because even if we haven't got something to play for, I'll still enjoy that last day against Gillingham. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens next season, especially with the teams coming down, the teams coming up. And that's another thing. The second team coming up with Chesterfield. Who could that be? Gateshead have done brilliant under Rob Elliott. He deserves a chance. Barnet have been building over the last couple of seasons. It'd be great to see them back in the Football League, especially with their new stadium plans. They look amazing, by the way. Credit to you guys, the Bees over there. Good to see you get back in into Barnet. Bromley, new team potentially. Welcome to the party, potentially. Solihull Wars, welcome to the party, potentially. I'm trying to look at the National League playoff race at the moment. I mean, there's a mixture of old EFL teams and new National League teams. Altrincham, welcome to the party, potentially. Aldershot, now there's an underdog for the players for the playoff win. Aldershot, who developed the likes of Josh Stokes, Lawrence Savage. There's a few teams that could still sneak in there. I think preferably there's only two teams that could sneak in there, really, Halifax and Oldham. So I think, again, it could be great to see Oldham back. We always draw Oldham in the trophy, so it'd be interesting to see. If Oldham, I swear to God, if Oldham went back into the playoffs and Oldham won them playoffs, I guarantee every single Rovers fan will be sat there in the summer thinking, oh, God, we're going to draw Oldham in the trophy again, aren't we? So it's going to be very interesting to get that feeling back. So I did the content for like a couple of years ago. And it was like, we always seem to draw Oldham. I remember me saying on camera a couple of years ago, we always draw Oldham. We just couldn't get the performance done tonight. Imagine me sat there in the summer after the playoffs, if Oldham go in and win it, thinking, we're going to get Oldham again, aren't we? So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But there's a good mixture of teams that could go up with Chesterfield, both former EFL clubs who needed time to rebuild, like Notts County did, like Wrexham did, and a mixture of new clubs like your Altringhams, your Gateshead, your Bromleys. I think Solihull Moors were in that mix for a while, but they've kind of gone out of it now. So it's going to be very interesting. I think next season in League Two is going to be just even better than this season. And that's saying something with how good League Two's been this season.
Dal, great to chat, mate. The good thing about you being a content creator is you answer the questions before the vision being asked, which is great. So there you go. It is going to be a fantastic end to the League Two season, whichever way it pans out for us. And I can't wait for the next few weeks, to be honest. We'll speak to you next time, mate. Good luck for the rest of the campaign.
Thank you very much, and cheers to all your viewers. Thank you.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.